Michelle, how did you like 306 off-brand?
I loved it. I loved it. Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I thought it gave us everything that we like in Saul. It gave us the Jimmy part, the Kim part, some questions. You know, we kind of saw a Chuck SmackDown. We saw backstory on Hector and Nacho and Gus and Tuco even, and just so much. It was just full of everything.
Yeah, it was good to see the important stuff again. Like, all that Chuck stuff just doesn't seem important. It, you know, Chuck has no bearing at all on Breaking Bad. And I think the things that I'm thinking are important are the things that have a meaning toward and leading into Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I also think, though, that what is important, too, is what makes Jimmy turn into Saul. And we saw that. We saw him even pick the name. Was it perfect? Did you love that?
Yeah, it was good.
I thought it was just great. They answered so well. They gave us pieces, and then they answered that question anyway. And I thought it was a great episode. I thought it was one of their best.
So how do you think this season's going to end, Michelle? We're getting down near the end now. It's 3:07 next week. There's 4 episodes left.
Oh, is that all there is? There's only 11? I was thinking 13 for some reason.
No, there's 10.
Oh, okay. Wow. My guess would be that we see the fruition of Saul, how he actually becomes that as an attorney. And then maybe when we come back next year, we'll see the beginnings of his practice. That would be my guess if I were guessing it. See how entangled he actually is with Gus and how he's working with Mike a little deeper. Because we got pieces of that in Breaking Bad, but I don't remember knowing everything.
Do you think there'll be a time jump later this season towards that year that he's on suspension?
That's a good question. I don't know. They're good about not doing that so much, I think. And I would be surprised if there was. Maybe if they kind of, I mean, there'll probably be some time jump. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little time jump. There would almost have to be, because we can't just go a couple more days into this, hardly, and see any kind of, you know, progression into his becoming Saul. But I'm guessing that the big time jump, just a guess, would be next season. Just a on the spot guess.
How do you think we'll bid farewell to Chuck? Because I don't see Chuck making it past this season.
I mean, is Chuck going to get better?
I hope not.
He might.
The last 3 episodes, 8, 9, and 10, are entitled Slip, Fall, and Lantern. And Chuck has these lanterns like all provocatively around his house, like near the papers and near the scotch and everywhere and anywhere. And he's really careless and kind of sloppy with his life. And I think something bad's going to happen to Chuck.
Do you think it's going to be an accident if something happens to
him? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, like, who's mad enough at Chuck to do anything to him?
Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I don't know, because there's so many possibilities in this. That's kind of what I love about it. Like, if Saul gets in with Gus and Chuck is somehow trying to still do something to Jimmy / Saul, who knows?
Yeah, Chuck's winding it up again to, like, spend the rest of his days jabbing Jimmy some more. That's not good. But he's getting to become a tiresome character. They can't keep him in too many more plots, I don't think.
I wouldn't think. I'd have to agree with you. I wouldn't think they would, but if they do, they're probably, I would guess, going to have to change the character, right? Like have the character be better. Or be so bad that, like, ill, that it just seems like a different character. It can't go on with this.
No, I got a lot of questions about Chuck. He's already too ill. He can't get more ill and have us endure through that crap.
Yeah.
His time has got to go. Got to come and go. What did you think the off-brand was? So the title, so here we are, West Coast Project, Michelle from TN, and I'm Mike, and we're here for off-brand on West Coast Project Better Call Saul's podcast. But what do you think the title, the name off-brand? There's a couple obvious ones, but what about some other ones?
You know, there was so much, like the him trying to sell the airtime that he had already paid for to make the money, and going, you know, doing something different, like becoming an off-brand of himself in a way. Not really, but kind of. And then there was also a lot of, did you notice, like, fabric and stuff in this? We had the carpet / tile place that he's in there, and there's all this fabric. And then we had the fabric of Nacho's dad and the story a little bit on him. So
yeah, that's a good tempting little story that might happen with Hector. The upholstery. Right. He's an upholstery business, like car upholstery. And probably
Was
furniture.
It car? Okay.
Probably
yeah.
Everything. Yeah, but yeah, upholstery. How about Hector getting into the Poyos trucks? You remember from the last episode he wanted to look better to Don Eladio. He wanted to take over Gus's transport routes, right, so he could get more business. And we see him taking 60. He took 6 of those blocks of cocaine out of the 10. He took more than half of all of Gus's product.
Right.
How about Tampico? Tampico was Crazy 8's father's family business. I remember Walt had the Tampico crib. He talked about that with Walt Jr. And when he was about, of course, this is our podcast, Michelle, so we have spoilers. So if you have not watched Breaking Bad yet, you might as well turn it off, because we're going to talk about Breaking Bad. Right before Walt strangled Crazy 8, Crazy 8 told him about his father's furniture store, and that's Tampico. That's the shirt he's wearing.
Oh, okay.
And Walt said, that's where we got our crib for Walt Jr.
I'd forgotten all about that. That's crazy. Yeah, that's good.
So, of course, in the upholstery business is getting rebranded in Hector's mind. He wants to change that into a front for his trafficking.
Right.
What else? Gus getting
into Saul.
Yes.
You know, Jimmy changing to Saul is obvious off-brand.
Gus getting into the laundry, looking at that building for the laundry, moving from chicken to laundry.
Mm-hmm.
How about Mike as a cement laborer?
Yeah. I got some questions about that, too, when we get there.
And how about Chuck? Chuck's got a new phase of life he and Howard kind of toasted to. Is he his old phase of life seems to be the Jimmy tormentor, or maybe he'll get into something else. I guess we'll see.
We can hope.
All right, Michelle. Well, we saw a new character from old Breaking Bad days, Lydia.
Yes, we did. Wasn't that cool?
I always liked Lydia. I think she's sexy.
She didn't have a great end, though. Of course, a lot of people on Breaking Bad didn't, did they?
I like how they crossed Lydia right next to the pill, like the whatever that pill tablet is going to carry for Hector.
Right.
And the pill that eventually carried, or whatever, the packet that carried something for Lydia.
Yeah, like the, what was it, artificial sweetener or something that she used to love?
Stevia, yeah. Yeah, so her credits didn't come until at the end of the episode. They didn't tip anybody off that she was going to be on.
They're great about stuff like that. They just let this whole thing kind of play out, and it was like one surprise after another. I didn't even know where Gus was for a minute, and then when he walks out, well, I kind of I had like a flashback of that moving arm when he was swinging that big cable arm, and I couldn't remember what I was thinking about it from. I kept trying to place it, and then he walked outside, and I realized it was the laundry.
Yeah, he's kind of taking his flashlight, peeking around like, oh, if I lift this one up, I can make a nice stairway down into the super lift.
Right.
Yeah, so they can't use that pill with Lydia, though, or they can't use that pill, I don't even think, for Hector. It's too obvious. It was too right in our face.
Well, something's going to happen about that. I think they teased us with the end of Hector. Right? We talked about what happens to him and how he ends up in that state that he's in Breaking Bad. And I think they just teased us on that.
He's healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, this one starts out with Hector pouring himself some coffee at the Michoacan. Oh, I said that wrong. Michoacan. Michoacano, El Michoacano. The Michoacan is the state in Mexico on the Pacific coast. It's a state, just like we have states. And I think it's where a lot of the cartel started. That's why they keep popping name up. That's the name of his restaurant.
Yeah.
El Michoacano. I don't know what it means, Michelle. Do you know with your new Spanish fluency what it means?
Oh, that's not nice. No, the only thing I could find out about it was that it was a place, just like you said. That's the only thing I found out about it.
Let's see if it tells us really quick here. Officially, it was named after Jose Maria Morelos, one of the main heroes of the Mexican War of Independence. I don't know what else it means, but I think that's where the cartel started or is based or something. But that's the restaurant. And Hector's having himself some coffee. Michelle, what do you think of the rubber band and rolled up cash method of storing cash?
Well, I mean, if you're only going to have it for a little while, I guess it's okay. But we've already heard from Don Alito that's not what he likes. So I was kind of surprised to see him do it.
It's very gangster, isn't it? It's like you never see a guy with his family at a restaurant pulling out a roll like that.
That's a lot of money, though, right? That's a lot of money that they've got in there.
It's not very efficient either. Rolling it up like that makes a big round bulge in your pocket.
Well, right. It's certainly not space efficient, for sure. Well, but maybe that's it. Maybe it looks like more when you go carrying it in someplace and it's, you know, softball size.
It looks more impressive to your gang, your Don.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how they kind of store it, though. They kind of know each roll looks about the same, and, you know, little Crazy 8 comes in here, and his roll's a little thin. This is the preview we saw last week, that he's a little short. We didn't see what happened to him, though, last week in the preview. We just saw that he was short, and he kind of left with a sigh of relief. Thank you, I'll make it up this week. But this time, Nacho goes after him.
Well, yeah, but not on his own accord. Hector made him, and he didn't even want to do that. That was distasteful to him, and they're making us really dislike these characters, Hector especially, and Chuck especially. I think so when they get their comeuppance, we can't sit back and have a lot of grief for them.
Yeah, not just hating his whole life with Hector and his job with Hector and... There's some complicated
people. Well, he's not
even
nice. He won't even say anything. They're saying hello to him. These guys who are coming in bringing him these wads of bills and stuff. And he doesn't even acknowledge them. He doesn't even acknowledge the guys or Crazy 8 as Nacho drags him through the restaurant into the back.
Well, Crazy 8's being cordial and friendly because he's thin with his drop that week. He's trying to be super, hey, pal, how you doing? He's a little light on his money, so he's trying to be friendly.
Right, but the guy before him was still trying to be nice and saying hello to Don Hector, and he got nothing back. Didn't even glance at him. So, yeah, Crazy 8 was obviously kind of stalling for a minute and then worried about it, but Nacho was going to let him go until next week, I believe, until Hector made an issue of it.
Who works for who?
Yeah, and I didn't know if he was talking about, does he work for you or do you work for him? Or if he was saying, do you work for me or do I work for you? Am I going to have to tell you what to, you know?
I think he was saying that to Natra, you're the boss, act like the boss. Don't let him direct the terms of when he's going to pay you.
Sure.
So a little side trivia, Michelle, here in California, it's almost softball season. And I'm number 8 on my team and my teammates call me Crazy 8.
That's great. That's great.
It's a little bit like Friday Night Lights. Everybody calls their number.
That's pretty cool. I hate it that your guy got beat up this week, but your off-brand got beat up this week. Yeah.
I just like him. So anyway, that takes us right to the credits. We come back and Kim's giving testimony at the hearing about Jimmy helping the elderly. She's standing up for him, giving him a good word, and how even elderly have shown up for support for Jimmy here at this hearing.
They love him. Everybody loves him.
And we get some scenes intercut with Rebecca going over to Chuck's, back to Kim and Cord, back to Rebecca a few times. But she's talking about how Jimmy helped Chuck, cared for him, even made him a suit jacket out of Mylar.
Yeah, which was like another fabric sewing kind of touch in this episode. We saw that a lot in this. That's kind of stretching maybe a little bit, but she said, you know, he even made him at, like, you know, actually sewn together is how I took it, a Mylar jacket. And I thought, we just saw a lot of that.
Yeah, fabric. That's a good catch. I didn't even pick up on that so much as you did. That is really good that he literally probably had to sew that Mylar into his jacket, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And we see, you know, Nacho sew his own hand. I don't know. There just seemed a lot of that to me for some reason.
So Kim tries to say Jimmy snapped when he was betrayed. It was just like kind of anger wasn't planned. He wasn't there to destroy evidence. It was just his temper. And the legal profession is better with Jimmy McGill in it. And then we find out that after they get out of this, they're kind of celebrating. There was only 12-month suspension for Jimmy.
Right.
And they appear super close. They're laughing, and this is just poisonous for them. This is just like a bad, bad omen.
What do you mean?
This is Hank calling Marie, I love you, baby. I'll be home soon. Just bad, bad, ominous, like something's bad's going to happen between them. Don't you think?
It has to, but yeah. I hate it. And we know it's imminent now. And yeah, I think so.
So they get a knock on the door when they're celebrating, and it's Rebecca. She's looking for Chuck, or at least Jimmy's help to get Chuck to open up the house. And Jimmy just declines, not my brother anymore. I don't owe him squat. Rebecca says, you do owe him. You lied to me about helping him. You got what you wanted. Now you need to do what's right. And Jimmy says,
yeah, right. You were right. You were right on that one. You said that you thought it would be her to Jimmy. And I was thinking it would be her to Chuck. But you were right on that. I wonder.
About help. Yeah. About you got what you wanted.
Yeah, we had seen in the previous episode prior to last week, we had seen her saying, you got what you wanted. And we didn't know who she was, or in last week's preview, we didn't know who she was talking to. And you had hypothesized she was talking to Jimmy. And I had said, or she could be talking to Chuck and saying, you know, you got him disbarred, now you got to do something. But you were right. It was Jimmy she was talking to.
Why doesn't Rebecca, what does she still hold for Chuck? Why is she so angry at Jimmy?
I guess I understand. Just thinking broadly, right? If she left him and he was that sick, you know, she left him, they separated. She still cares about him, but she knows, you know, first of all, she didn't know he was sick. And then she knows he's sick, but she knows he's got Jimmy. So her guilt is alleviated. She's not leaving him just alone or in the, you know, to the good graces of the employees or whatever. But I don't know what she expects Jimmy to do here. This guy just got him suspended from his job for a year. And he has a propensity to not make good choices in the best of situations, much less in these worst of situations. And we see a little bit later on that he wants to keep everything status quo. He likes what he's built and is building with Kim. So what's he going to do in that year with no inheritance or presumably cash savings to make do? Chuck has really, even though it's much less than what he would have gotten and could have gotten, it's still quite a blow to Jimmy. And I don't know what she expects Jimmy to then do on that very day for Chuck. I think that's really asking a lot. Maybe if a month had went by or something, then maybe feelings could have softened a little bit. But that very day that he gets suspended for a year from his employment, and she goes to him and wants him to go back to Chuck's house, which is what got him in trouble in the first place. He even said, makes some comment, I've kicked in my door quota or something. And he's right. I don't know what good it would do him to go there. I don't know how Chuck would receive him. I don't know anything about that. And I don't really know what she's thinking, asking him to do that. What do you think about
that? It's a narrow escape problem, Michelle. Chuck has limited Jimmy into so few choices that he has to do drastic things. Narrow escape problems, another podcast on the West Coast Project Network that Michelle and I do on Fargo.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's just leaning on him as like, you're the brother. Come on, he's mentally ill. He's got essentially no one else. But you're right. He did just chop Jimmy's legs off at the knees, and he's got no other means of income. And he was just in trouble for going over there. And if Chuck's not opening the door, what does she expect him to do? Kind of implying, we got to get in there to help him. Like, let's get through that door. Like, if he broke that door down again, he would be in crazy trouble.
Well, right. They've already said that if he does anything, well, I don't think they've actually said it yet, but we know they say it in a little bit that if he does anything else, that it's bad. He's going to lose his license for maybe ever.
Yeah. Well, anyone with any common sense, if you're pulled over for drunk driving and you go get drunk the next day and you get pulled over again, it's not good.
Right.
Whatever. You do the same crime in the same day. It's not good.
Well, right. Right. I mean, it's just really asking for trouble. She's really asking Jimmy to go out on a limb here to help Chuck when Chuck has went way out on a limb to hurt Jimmy. Literally set him up. Now, you know, I mean, it's arguable too that Jimmy hurt Chuck to get the ball started in this, but Chuck's never liked Jimmy. And this just happened today. I thought it was a ridiculous request.
Ooh, way out on a limb, Michelle. Wasn't there a limb that was about to break, or was that in another show that we do?
That was The Americans.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. All right, back to this one. Mike and Stacy are talking at the church group about Kaylee. It's basically Stacy talking to the church group. We don't know Mike's there yet, but she's talking right. about her life and Kaylee. And she wanted to know more about her father's, or Kaylee wanted to know more about her father's life, Mike's son, and the job he did and all that. And then the camera did a really cool trick of panning around to everyone in the group and came up last on Mike. So we found out at the end that he was there in that little meeting.
Yeah, what a great guy to be that supportive of her.
Well, it's his daughter. What else has he got going on?
It's his daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Right? But... yeah. I just think it's great.
Yeah, he's there kind of reluctantly, but
you're right.
You know, I think it's Mike-ish for him to be there.
Oh, I do too. I completely buy it. I just think he's a really good guy. I think this family, and we know because of Breaking Bad and stuff, the family means everything to him. Kaylee means everything to him.
So, Michelle, do you have a cement theory? Stacy has volunteered Mike to come back. She volunteered for him to come back and build the playground and pour the cement, and reminds Mike that Maddie, his son, had written his initials in the wet cement of some previous concrete work he had done way back when Maddie was a kid. And Mike doesn't remember this, or replies that he doesn't remember, whether he does or not, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that. Did you have a take on that?
Not yet. I don't know. It's a pretty interesting little plot development, though.
Right, because why would Mike actually not remember? Well, she said that he built a carport, that Maddie had told her he built a carport and put the, I don't know, they need whatever you put down in the concrete to hold, to brace it. I don't know what it was called, but that's what they were talking about. And that Mike said everybody was trying to rip him off, so he wanted to do it himself. Building a carport seems like it would be a pretty big deal. I mean, I don't know if Mike does that kind of stuff all the time, but it seems like kind of a big deal of something to forget.
Yeah, so either Maddie had lied about it to Stacy just to make it look like he had a really cool dad, or Mike blocked something out, or Mike really does remember and just doesn't want to talk about it.
What's your guess?
And whenever you mix concrete and criminals, Michelle, there's usually not a good result.
Well, yeah, we have seen some pretty nasty mixes with those.
So you're thinking that, like, maybe Nacho will be in that playground? No, I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting that concrete, it could be anything else. Could have been anything else. They want to help. They want you to help put the jungle gym together. They want you to move the slide, the bring in the wood chips for the swings, but it's concrete. I don't know. All right, Howard goes over to Chuck's, Michelle, does the mailbox drill, puts everything in there, and then he goes in. He's brought a little present for Chuck. First of all, we find out Chuck's alive. At this point, I didn't know if he was alive because he was not responding to Rebecca.
Well, he was sitting inside the door when Rebecca was beating on it. They panned to him quickly. If you blinked, you missed it. But as she went around to the back door and was beating on the door, he was literally sitting beside the door she was beating on.
All right.
Just looking terrorized. So, yeah.
All right, well, so he opens up and lets Howard in, and Howard's brought him a 35-year-old scotch. Now, I read some comments, Michelle, and they said that, first of all, that Macallan scotch would be worth about $10,000.
$10,000?
$7,000 to $10,000. And then some people tried to date it, that if it was 35 years old and it was made in 1966, that would have put it right at 2001. Okay. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to tell you though, I did the same thing, right? I was talking about it to Mike, my husband Mike, about that. I said, so this gives us a date, right? Because it was 1966. And he said, actually, it doesn't. He said, when a scotch is only dated until it's bottled. The date on the scotch, 35-year-old scotch, no matter what year it's sold, is still 35-year-old scotch. I really hope he knows what he's talking about because he really acted like he did. Because it's the date in the cask that counts.
Yeah, not so I heard the same thing, or I read the same thing. It's the date it's bottled. So if you opened a 1966 Macallan today in 2017, it would still be a 35-year-old scotch.
Right.
So that doesn't really help. But then somebody else in that same thread said something about how in episode 305, there was a calendar outside the courtroom that said February 2003.
Okay.
So that's pretty clear if that's true. I don't have any proof that that's true.
Okay.
But anyway, Howard brings a scotch. They celebrate or they talk about Jimmy. I guess they're not celebrating, but he's suspended for 12 months. Howard views this as a victory. And, but when he screws up, it'll turn it into forever. But I think Howard is still a good guy, Michelle. I think he's masking something here in front of Chuck. I think he's super complicated. We hate Chuck even more Chuck is sad that Jimmy only got, you gotta hate people that are sad at another person's incomplete failure. Like, Jimmy's failure wasn't absolute, so this is why Chuck's upset. That's that's bad.
Well, right. And if you had any doubt, which of course we didn't, but somebody just viewing it, if they had any doubt that Chuck was actually on Jimmy's side and just wanted to get him help, and just want him to realize his mistake or whatever, then you would know that's not the truth.
Well, nobody thought that. Who thought that? I thought.
No.
I thought he was a dick, but at least he'd let his foot off the pedal. All right, I got what I got. The guy's suspended for a year. But no, he's ready to double down and get more shit on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think Howard is super complicated. His real motivations are still pretty cloudy. It's good for Jimmy if he can get Chuck to forget about Jimmy. It's good for Jimmy if that happens.
And it's probably good for Chuck, too.
Yeah, but the hell with Chuck. I think Howard is concerned about Jimmy and concerned about the law firm. I don't think Howard gives a damn about Chuck.
Maybe not. I don't know. I can't decide yet. I mean, I really do waffle back and forth. I mean, he did take him this expensive bottle of scotch, and he's like, don't worry, it came from my cut or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, they can't be two villains twirling their mustaches gleefully in the dark. I think Howard is way more complicated than that, and I think the writers are making him way more deep and more shadowy. Like, what's he really after?
Right.
And I like that way more than he's just helping Chuck celebrate. Well, we'll find out, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So there are a slight amount of time passes because Chuck says to Howard, are you okay to drive? And with another lantern sitting on the counter in the dark, and Howard leaves. And Chuck gets out the tape machine, Michelle, and removes a battery and then holds on to it to, like, kind of endure the pain or experience the pain.
What was that all about?
He's doing something. He's trying to do something with this new call to the... I guess this doctor is a psychiatrist he calls.
That'd be my guess, yeah.
We've seen her before, I think, or we've heard from her before, but it's not a medical doctor. I think isn't she the one who implied that this was all psychosomatic in the first place?
I really don't remember, honestly. I don't know if I watched it that closely at the beginning, so I really don't remember her specifically. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, Dr. Cruz. They say in the forums that she's the doctor that diagnosed his condition, and his condition is not a true medical. If any doctor diagnoses Chuck's condition, it's a diagnosis of mental, right?
Yeah, because, well, they even got him to admit in court in that hearing that he had not been diagnosed by a medical doctor with this. So yeah, I would definitely say that's right.
Right. So if a doctor diagnoses his condition, it has to be something that's a true condition, and that would have to be the mental state that of psychosomatic, whatever that is, for makes him think he has this condition.
Right. Right.
Anyway, so that's mysterious. He hugs that, or he squeezes that battery, like, on purpose to feel it.
I thought he was trying to see for himself. For a minute, I thought that. Is this really real?
Maybe, or how much,
kind of,
or maybe
testing himself.
Yeah, maybe just how much can I take, because he knew he was going to go out and make the phone call.
Oh, okay, there you go. That makes more sense. Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know, though, because there's something cooking with this whole doctor thing. Unfortunately, it looks like Chuck's going to have more legs and hang on for a few more episodes because he's seen the doctor and there's more mystery around him.
Right.
Not just the end of the trial, that's it. Sorry, Chuck, you didn't get everything you wanted, but that's that.
Right.
All right, we get a reunion with the fish, Michelle, a little fish in the little baggie that Jimmy had when he went to see the doctor.
Yeah, Jimmy's took the doctor's advice on him, it looks like.
Fish's got a nice new home, nice new aquarium.
Yep.
And we saw Martha's point of view through that aquarium.
Attached to the Americans again, yeah.
We got a
All
brand.
Of these do kind
got
of
a cross
together.
Brand, Michelle.
I know.
Off brand. Jimmy and Francesca start cold calling people to tell them about Jimmy's new status as being somewhat on sabbatical or leave or something benign sounding that doesn't say I'm suspended for a year, I can't help you.
Right. One brief trip around the sun and then I'll be back.
That's a long time for people that are 88 years old.
That can be a long time. Yep.
Maybe he'll go on the Albuquerque Bridge circuit, Michelle.
Ooh, that would be good, wouldn't it? Another tip to Fargo, yeah.
Tip of the hat to Fargo, another podcast on the West Coast Project Network. Jimmy tells the people, the elderly folks, it's a technical thing. You'll get all the details in a letter, just boring jumbo, mumbo jumbo. And he gets to the last guy, and he starts talking about the B-29 that he saw Jimmy with in the commercial.
Pretty funny. Yeah, that was pretty cool. And I think that kind of reminds him about his commercials, too. So.
Yeah, and Jimmy's finally untethered after this final call. This was a hard day for Jimmy. You had to go through all those people. And I got a feeling of relief when he hung up that phone, like, this is something I'm past now.
Well, right, and it was a lot of people. If you saw that list, if you can imagine getting on the phone with that many people in a day, they showed them, like, marking them out one at a time. Francesca would get them on the phone, send them back there to him, and he would go through the spiel with them. He's, like, stopping and using throat spray. He's, you know, having to talk to them about their nieces, and he's talking to them. He can't hear them over the background noise, and he's just having these conversations with them. And they even showed, like, the sunshine shining through the window at the end, like it had been a long day, like the sun was late, you know, deep in the sky before this ended. So this was a long, long day for Jimmy. And then, of course, when he's talking to the guy, the last guy who brings up the B-52 bomber, though, I think World War II vet or something that brought it up, he remembered the commercials, and he goes out there to Francesca and wants her to get the radio station to pull the commercials immediately, because he didn't, that's the last thing he needs is people trying to call him. He'll have to explain it to more people.
Yeah, but there was some meaning. I think we're supposed to figure out, what is the meaning of this? and Jimmy's untethered from his past it may have been his last act as an honest lawyer.
Okay.
I think there's a line being drawn here, because now he's got this year to develop into whatever he's going to do. And when he comes back, he's not going to be, I don't think, an elder law attorney.
No, I don't either.
So I think it's a boundary he crosses. But he gets Francesca to get him the television station because he has to pull the commercial. He's got some, $4,900 of airtime already purchased, and he needs to sell it back to people or reclaim it somehow.
Right.
So he goes outside and smokes, and Kim goes out into their smoking sharing area. And I thought for a moment there, Michelle, that the commercial might have violated his suspension or the terms of his whatever he's in now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe so.
And because Kim looks a little worried about it at first, and she says, why don't you just sell it back? And then they would talk about Francesca. What are we going to do with Francesca? And Jimmy's like, you want to fire her? He's kind of surprised that she's trying to process Francesca out of the building. And she actually, Kim wants to move out of the building. And why have a building for two lawyers when there's only one of us? Why waste the money?
Well, right. And she only has the one client. It's a big client, but that's all she has. So
Jimmy has other plans, though, which I think are recipe for trouble. Nothing's changed. I have aspirational thinking. That's got to be trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kim seems to allow that for now. She lets that go, like, well, okay. And we'll find out why, I guess, but it does seem to be planning for trouble. Well, we know there's trouble, right? It'd be stupid to stay. Another Happy Ever After is coming up.
Right.
So Jimmy goes around to try to sell this airtime. His first stop is a carpet company, into your textile theory, Michelle.
Right, right.
He's now a producer. That's pretty smart. We shoot your commercial. It's $4,900, but the airtime is free.
Right, because he wasn't allowed to sell the airtime. Correct. So he gave it away, and he had that little production crew that he used for his commercials before with him. But this was seriously quick commercials. He wanted to, like, do it. I mean, he had to air that day. So
yeah, he had one coming up that day. That would have been a chunk of the $4,900.
Right.
So he doesn't lose it all. He loses some of it if he doesn't take advantage of the one that's due today.
Right.
But they, you know, they're overwhelmed a little bit by the $4,900. So he says, well, we've got the tow in the water package for $849.95. Pretty smart. Pretty good calculations there on the fly by Mr. Goodman.
It really is. Yep.
And they say, well, think about it, and we'll get back to you next week. And Jimmy says, well, you got 15 minutes, because I got to put you on the air in 2 hours.
Right. We got to be filming in 15 minutes. They're like, what?
And then they come out, they kind of ominously show this massage place next door. I thought that was going to be his next stop.
Yeah, I did too, honestly.
We'll do a massage commercial. But no, they all get in the car, and here's where they go, the camera crew and sound crew and makeup girl. They get in the car and they kind of plan what they're going to do next. They have 2 hours or he's going to lose that next spot.
Right. And the girl says to him, she says, "Will you just do a commercial?" And that gives him the idea to do a commercial for the commercial.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. Pretty funny. Pretty smart and funny. I like that. When kind of, she's kind of an airhead.
Mm-hmm.
She's the girl that tipped off the teachers about the Rupert. Who's that singer, Rupert, that wasn't really a student at that school?
Oh, yeah, from American Idol?
No, from... Wasn't... who's the Rupert? I can't think of his name now, but he's the singer that went to the school. If you like Pina Coladas.
Oh.
They were doing this flag background, and the teachers came out, and right. The principal, "Get out of here. We're doing... No, we're... Did you know Rupert, whatever, was a student here?"
Oh, anyway. I'd forgotten. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking Rupert from American Idol. Okay, never mind.
So they drive to the TV station, and it's satellite dishes, and he wants to make a commercial, like you say, of himself making commercials. But he can't do it, so one of the others has to do it. So he lets the girl audition, and she admits, he's like, "Weren't you the president of the drama club?" And she's like, "No, I was the treasurer of the drama club." So she gets nixed, then other guy's horrible, and so he kind of has to, he realizes, I think, here that it has to be him in one form or another. So that shows up a little later.
Yeah, it's definitely an off-brand of him, though, right? It's not, it's him in disguise.
So we see the Poyos truck now en route to the chicken farm and or wherever it's going. It unloads the barrels. And underneath the floor of the truck, we see the cocaine that Gus is shipping for the cartel.
That was pretty elaborate, wasn't it?
Pretty good hiding place.
They had to literally take the bottom of the truck apart. And when you took this panel off, it was just a flat panel underneath it. And they had to attach these big, heavy-duty suction cups to slide that out of the way. And even then, all it looked like was some of that chicken seasoning had gotten in the floor. It was still, and that's where they had to dig through that to get these drug bricks.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
I'm going to call that stuff insulation for the refrigerated truck. I don't think that's
okay.
Oregano. I think that's because there was so much of it, and it was kind of packed in there like foam that you would pack in a wall to insulate it.
Okay. I, for some reason, thought it was the same stuff that was in those barrels, the stuff that he shipped it in, the spices and the seasoning, like the special spice mix. But I could certainly be wrong.
Like dry rub or something. No,
yeah.
There was an inch of it there, though. It's too much, I think, to be...
Okay.
So we see that little route. We see that little the routine that Gus uses to get the cocaine, and he only gets 10 bags or 10 bricks. And right away, Victor and Nacho and Tyrus are all there, and they want 6 bricks. Nacho wants 6 bricks, and Victor and Tyrus say only 5. Five is on account, and they pull their guns on him because they want. You know, they want to show him that you're not in charge here. This is our turf. And they don't even probably want to give him any because this is Hector influencing Gus to give him part of his trade route.
They feel like he's robbing him anyway, I think. And then when he tells them he's going to take more than what we presume is the agreed upon 5, then they pull the guns.
Yeah, so it was interesting seeing all these guys. So I don't know that Tyrus gets killed in Breaking Bad, but certainly Victor and Gus are no longer around.
Well, Gus is around.
Not in Breaking Bad. I mean, at the end of Breaking Bad.
Oh,
I'm thinking of all these people that are gone at the end, you know, in the next few years.
Yeah.
Lydia and Mike and everybody. But
yeah,
I think
most of them.
We don't know about Nacho and we don't know about Tyrus. No, Tyrus got killed in the Gus thing, didn't he?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Tyrus was in
I didn't even remember him.
And when Gus got his face blown off, Tyrus was in there with him. So all those guys are gone. Pretty funny. You can do that when you watch, like, The Godfather at the wedding scene. Like, all those people are dead. Spoiler alert. 1972 movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was kind of cool, watching the bricks and the whole procedure of how Gus got his route to Mexico.
Yeah.
So they call Gus and they tell him the story, and Gus just says, oh, whatever, let him have it. Let him take it. Gus has bigger plans, Michelle, we're going to see.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think he likes it. I still feel like Gus feels like he's being taken advantage of, and that probably even pushes Gus even more to go out on the limb and do the laundry.
Yeah, I don't know if it pushes him, but I think it firms up his resolve. Like, he was already going to do it, and now he's like, oh, this is going to be so good when I do it.
Right. Well, I mean, he's got to, because you can't work with somebody like Hector.
Right. And I like also how Nacho, like I was calling Howard complicated. I like how Nacho's super complicated, too, because Nacho's a pretty tough guy, but as he walks past the camera, he's really shaken by this getting the gun pulled on him.
Right.
And all this BS with Hector. Hector's just pushing Gus's buttons, and he's using Nacho. Nacho hates this. He hates the team he's working for.
I agree completely.
All right, so next scene is at the super lab, the pre-super lab, the laundry. And it's a laundry for sale. Gus is poking around with his flashlight, looking around behind the big washing, I guess it's a washing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And right where you used to see the guys walk behind it to go down the stairs into the super lab. Pretty cool.
Yep.
And he gets out and walks and gets to the car, and Lydia and him drive away. And Gus says, well, it could work. So I'd like seeing Lydia again.
It was really cool. That's what I put down. It was really great to see her.
Lydia Rodart Quayle. I don't think we ever saw her and Gus in Breaking Bad together, but we know they worked together. Because Gus had this whole connection with the Electro Automotive Company. That's not what it's called. Something. Electromotive. Something like that. The German company that Lydia works for.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either, But I remember that by that point, by the Breaking Bad point, when we meet her, she's a nervous wreck. And it was neat to see her in this before that happened. And I hope they show us what transitioned her from being this kind of cool person. I mean, for all I knew, at that point, she was a real estate agent. Or something.
No, she was a distributor for that German company.
I mean, here.
Oh, she looked like taking him around to look at buildings. I guess. Sure. She kind of looked like that, but you know, she was plotting with Gus to get all this machinery, because that's where the machinery for the super lab came from.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, if we didn't know this, if we had not watched Breaking Bad, I would even think, okay, she was a real estate agent who took him looking for property.
Oh, right. Right.
And that's how cool she is over it. And we see her in Breaking Bad, and you never see her when she's not just this nervous wreck kind of person.
Do you think you could enjoy this show without having seen Breaking Bad?
I still think Saul can absolutely stand on its own. I've told several people that, who talk about, should I go back and watch Breaking Bad and that kind of stuff. And I don't think it's ever a bad idea to go back and watch it. But I don't think you need to do that to enjoy this show. But I think it adds such another layer, maybe more than that one layer.
Just think of all the richness you'd miss out on. Just like this scene, you're right. She does look like a real estate agent taking him around, but it's kind of a joke within a joke, because we all know what's going on.
Right.
If we didn't know better, we'd think she was a real estate agent, but we know way more and way better than that.
Right.
Okay, so we come back to Chuck. He seems to have survived the battery in the hand enough to go out and walk down the street with his Mylar suit on.
Yeah, he looks, I mean, he's not even really attempting to cover this up very much.
No, that can't be the suit Jimmy made for him, because this suit looked like crap. It didn't look like a suit. It looked like a piece of Mylar underneath a jacket.
Right. Even with a hood, though.
You couldn't wear that in a courtroom and get away with it.
No, I wouldn't think.
Like, they made it sound like Jimmy concealed Mylar so he could look almost normal and get away with it.
Well, we've even seen him before wear it a couple times when he's went to meetings and stuff like that. That's what I was assuming they were talking about, Jimmy making the suit. It really was just like a suit jacket, but when you turned it inside out, it was covered in that Mylar.
Yeah.
But, this was definitely more extreme than that.
So it was pretty painful watching Chuck walk down the street in Albuquerque in these super exposed lights and blistering, crackling sounds of electricity everywhere. It was painful to watch him.
Well, yeah. And he hears the electricity. You hear the electricity from the signs and just all of the noise that modern day electricity, you know, makes. And it's painful for him. And I wasn't sure what he was even going for at this point.
Yeah, he's trying to get an appointment with the doctor. We don't really know why, but he needs to see her ASAP. So I guess we'll find out pretty quick.
Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he just get like a cell phone or something?
Well, and we also saw Jimmy bringing him that old school phone that just runs on the super low voltage that just is in the phone line. Like if your power goes out, you can still use your phone.
Right.
One of those old, it was either a rotary or push button, but it was an old school, old plastic phone. Just last episode.
Yeah. Right. I didn't understand why I had to go out and use that phone.
Well, payphone makes it anonymous. I don't know why that might have been important, but that might have been a reason.
Well, he introduced himself on it, though, so that takes away the anonymity.
Yeah, there's no record of it. I don't know. Maybe it's, I guess we'll probably find out.
Yeah.
All right, Hector and his team meet now. Hector meets with Nacho, and Nacho relates what happened, how he got the gun pulled on him. And Hector wants to know more about Nacho's father and his upholstery business. Michelle, this cannot be good for Nacho's father. And he gets his upholstery from Jalisco, which is another state in Mexico. So it's perfect for Hector. Like, oh, good, another reason to have a truck going back and forth from Mexico to Albuquerque.
Yep. And Nacho's not happy with this at all.
No.
He knows his father's not going to want to do this.
Well, he wants to protect his father. He knows they're involved in, and he doesn't want his father anywhere near that.
Right. Well, and he's very reluctant with Hector. Plus, he's almost like begging him about this, I felt like. He really had like a pleading tone. And I just didn't like how Hector was with him over this at all. I definitely disliked Hector more and more.
Hector calls Gus temporary. And we know that he wants his own business. He doesn't want half of Gus's business. He wants Gus out. He wants all the credit for glory from Don Eladio and the other guy. But we're going to see that gets interrupted for a second because Nacho's crony, Arturo, gets a call from the jail that Tuco has knifed a guy in jail.
Yep.
He had 6 months sentence left or total or whatever. He was almost going to get out, but now he'll be in there forever, according to Hector, if he keeps having trouble like this.
Right. It really freaks Hector out.
So, Michelle, some of the people said in the forums, and I don't know how they discern this, but the call came from Lionel, the cousin, one of the cousins, twin cousins.
Mm-hmm.
That was the person calling that told Arturo that Tuco had knifed a guy.
Yeah, they might have said that. They might have. He might have come in and said, Lionel called, because that sounds familiar. So maybe, yeah.
So that was interesting. That's another appearance, even though not on screen, of another Breaking Bad character.
Right.
And then Hector has his medical episode. I thought that might have been it for Hector, but that would have been kind of a schnoozer way of Hector getting into his condition. Just having a seizure of some sort. But he drops a little pill on the floor. And Nacho hides it with his foot as Hector tells him he wants Nacho to talk to his father about the Jalisco route with the upholstery.
Yep.
So with this and Lydia and everything all together, there's a big hint that that pill will show up somewhere in someone's air supply or air passage or something.
I think something's going to happen where maybe the pill, you know, those capsules, usually with a capsule, you can open them and get the content out of it. And I don't know if something like that's not going to happen. I mean, Nacho now has this pill. We saw him. He didn't even crush it with his foot, right? It wasn't like just to keep it away from Hector. He stood up, put his shoe over it, but he didn't crush it. So it just kind of leads me to believe that Nacho might do something like take this pill or this capsule and open it, maybe put something else in it, if I were guessing, and put it back in Hector's bottle.
So what kind of medicine do you take, Michelle, from Tennessee the Nurse, for like a episode that Hector had like that? Is it like heart medicine, or what do you think it was?
That would be my guess, but that was an awful quick recovery for something like that. So I don't know. I don't really know.
So you think maybe he takes the pill and fills it with fake medicine so that when Hector thinks he's going to get relief from whatever his next episode is, or do you think he's going to put something like, now we know that we have this Joe DeRosa doctor ready for action all the time, that he might have, the veterinarian guy might have something that he could help put into this, into play.
Okay, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I mean, just anything nefarious that would not, or even just the antithesis of what he was taking. Like if he's taking something to, just for instance, if he's taking something to slow his heart rate down because he's upset, maybe it's something to speed his heart rate up. I don't know. I mean, all I can do is guess about that. But it just was funny how he kept his foot over the peel and but didn't crush it. He didn't just keep it from him. He wanted to keep the peel. Yeah. Or maybe he just wants to find out what the peel is.
Yeah, he had a whole bottle. Hector had a whole bottle of medicine, so it wasn't like if I keep this one from him, it's going to hurt him. He wanted to use it later.
Right. That's what
I also think. Have the doctor that was at the free clinic. All the doctors are on the good guy's side. You know, Gus's friend is the doctor at the free clinic where Mike got the whatever cocaine for the shoe. And then the doctor that's the veterinarian.
That's the good guy?
Well, better than Hector.
We just hate Hector so much. I know.
Hector and Chuck. All right. Jimmy has a client. Jimmy's secured a client, Michelle, for his new television production business.
Yes, he did.
Tells them, don't wear stripes, you'll moire.
You will.
He shares a beer with Kim to celebrate, and he explains this gig to Kim now, and that he's made a commercial for commercials. And I was still afraid that he's doing something that's going to violate his whatever just won in court there or at the hearing, because he's really reluctant to show Kim what he's up to.
Yeah, I felt, yes, and I was kind of too. I mean, that was always kind of like on the fringes of my mind, but I think he was just embarrassed, don't you think? Because he was just dressed up, and it was so, I don't know, it's crude for a commercial.
Well, it's crude for a lawyer. He was a lawyer yesterday, and now he's like a shyster movie producer with a dopey beard and a hat and a Saul Goodman Productions. How did you like the entry of Saul Goodman's name being associated with Jimmy McGill in this manner?
I mean, I thought it was perfect. They could not have given me a better way for him to come up with this name, a better time to come up with this name, a better reason to come up with this name. Nothing. I could not have imagined a better intro to Saul Goodman.
Yeah, it's another what? It was like when Walt and Skyler gave the confession tape to Hank and Marie, and we thought it was really going to be a confession, like Walt's right, finally give it up. But it's like a double, it's not what you think.
Right.
It was perfect. It was really cool.
Yep.
And Kim says, that guy has a lot of energy. What? Like she's like not sure about it.
Right. Right, but I never thought about his name like it's all good, man.
Right? Yeah,
Have you? Okay. I had never thought about like Saul Goodman, like it's all good. I've just never thought about it like that.
Yeah, that's so, kind never. Of the point. He said that he said that with his buddy back in Chicago or in Joliet. Okay. Saul Goodman.
I swear I must have missed it because I just heard it in this episode. So I was just like tickled to death. I loved it.
Yeah. So, well, like, I'm glad it only took you 8 years to enjoy that, Michelle.
Not bad.
Yeah. You didn't realize in episode 204 when he appeared in Breaking Bad and 2009.
I swear I have never, ever put that together.
That's funny.
I know, that's really bad, but I never have. True story.
All right, well, next week we got Expenses and then Slip, Fall, and Lantern. Those are the final four episodes. So I think Slip, Fall, and Lantern have to have something to do with Chuck. With Lantern, obviously, unless these guys are going to double back on us again. Expenses, I don't know what that might mean. What do you think that is for episode 7? What could Expenses be?
Well, I think that it's going to be Jimmy having trouble meeting his financial obligation, because that's kind of where we left it with Kim. He said, you know, I'm going to pay half. Don't worry about anything unless I can't pay half. And like you said, I think he's setting himself up for failure there. So his expenses are getting to him. They show him out doing some community service. I think he's picking up trash on the side of the road and answering a phone call, Saul Goodman Productions. So I think he's struggling, and I think that's where we're gonna see that. And what's going on with Kim? She takes that Mercedes girl. I'm not saying that right. Mesa Verde. I said it wrong. Right. Girl Paige. She hands her like this big, thick stack of papers, and she's like, "Here, you can read the guidelines if she wants." And Paige is looking at her kind of funny. So something's going on with that.
Yeah, Paige gave her a sideways glance when she said, "None of this. Don't worry, none of this is going to come back on Mesa Verde." When she revealed disclosure about Jimmy and Chuck,
right?
Like the guy. Who's the guy? What's the guy's name? The banker, the owner of the Mesa Verde, is the cool guy that likes Kim. But Paige gave her a dirty look, like, "I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that."
Right.
Yeah, so we'll see. It'll be interesting. And then Slip and Fall, Slip and Jimmy. I mean, that's number 8. Fall of somebody or fall of something. But Lantern, I mean, come on. What Lantern could it be?
Yeah, it has to be, right? Kevin. His name's Kevin, the guy that was aggravating me.
Yeah.
Kevin, yeah. Yeah, that has to be. They showed us the photo of the Lantern sitting on the newspaper. And they made a point to point out that called in question his abilities, his mental faculties,
right,
doing that kind of stuff.
Right. But you never know. There could be some restaurant called the Lantern on the Mexican border that they go to, and there's a gunfight. Or, you know, who knows?
That's true. I know.
But that's it for 306 Off Brand. So, Michelle, thanks for doing the podcast with me.
Sure. Thanks for letting me.
How do people reach you if they're full of ideas to share?
Or if you want to mock me about not knowing that Saul Goodman was Saul Goodman, I'm at Michelle from TN on Twitter.
And I am at Scathing Tweets, and this is West Coast Project. So until Expenses, save your money, Michelle, for Expenses.
I'm trying. Trust me. Trying.
Probably after a big weekend, huh?
Yeah, definitely time to save.
All right, well, cool. Well, we'll talk to you next week on Expenses. Until then, have a great week.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.